Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. All right. So today we're going to be talking about some collaborative ideas. Merry Christmas season.
Merry Christmas.
This is something for the 12 days of Christmas. Now, do you know? Because I'm gonna quiz you right here, Brandon. Because some people don't know this, and so I'm curious. Things? Do you know when the 12 days are?
I don't.
Oh, come on! Okay.
So, man, everybody's like, unsubscribe.
I know, right? We're supposed to be going up. You're bringing us down. You're gonna take us back below 100.
Nope, I never dove into that. I don't know why I never dove into it, but I never really dove into that.
Okay. So the 12 days of Christmas, me and Brian talked a little bit about this, and the 12 days of Christmas song, a lot of people are familiar with, that's actually code. The 12 days of Christmas song is actually code for some Christian beliefs. And I want to say it was actually the Catholic Church during that time where they were teaching some of the things they believe in code to their children through the 12 days of Christmas song, because the Protestant or the Church of England during that time was persecuting them to where like they couldn't teach and follow openly their Catholic beliefs. And so they were teaching some of those things. And those 12 things are things that, I mean, they're pretty orthodox. They're meaning they're pretty universal as far as what the church believes. For example, day two, the two turtle doves, that's the Old and the New Testament. I mean, I don't care what denomination you're part of. You should be right following the Old and the New Testament. So,
hey, and dove, that makes sense because doves are representative of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so you have things like that. You have the 12 apostles. You have the four gospels. You have multiple things mentioned in there that are just, you know, across the board. So you can go back, check out that episode. That was me and Brian talked about that last Christmas season. I think it was maybe after, maybe it was in January. It might have been after the 12 days. I don't remember. But it's somewhere around there. And so we wanted to put this one out in the middle of the 12 days, so to speak, because the 12 days is you have Christmas Day, so December 25th, and then you count. That's the first day of Christmas. And then you count from there, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, all the way up to what's usually January 6th, which is Epiphany. And so if you are some of my Latin Hispanic culture friends out there, then you could be familiar with, especially my Boricuas. They know about Dia de los Reyes, which is the Day of the Kings. So Three Kings Day, that is the day that's really big over on in Puerto Rico. And that is the day that we commemorate or celebrate the wise men bringing their gifts to Jesus. And so that's also known as Epiphany. And so you have those 12 days. So this Christmas season, I mean, you're talking from December 1st is when Advent starts, right? And you have those 24 days of Advent, and then you have Christmas Day.
I know that one.
Right, you know that one, right? Yeah. And then you have Christmas Day, which is the first day of Christmas, which leads to the 12 days of Christmas, which goes into Epiphany, which is that January 6th, the day that the wise men brought the gifts, or that we commemorate the wise men bringing the gifts. And so that is the full Christmas season. And so we wanted to do a little something, you know, 12 days of Christmas here. We talked about the meanings of those 12 days. You can go back, check that out, subscribe, make sure you're not missing stuff. But then we wanted to talk today about just 12 gifts, 12 ideas, collaborative ideas, ways we can collaborate
to unify around Christmas.
Exactly. And then so these are things that, you know, it could be just right in the Christmas season, year round, but it's 12 collaborative ideas, right? 12 things that we could do, 12 gifts of collaboration, 12 12 gifts of unifying ideas for us to practice as a church. You have the first few on this list.
Yep,
I'm sure we'll just kind of work our way right through, and we'll try to be quick on them. You know how we can be sometimes, but we want to actually try to get through all 12 of these. I feel like if we don't wrangle ourselves, we'll get stuck at like,
We will. Well, we could go through them all. We could go through all 12 and then kind of come back and hit them if you want.
And then kind of come back.
That way we might actually get all the way through the list.
And then we might actually get, what's it called? But we're going to work one at a time. Let's work one at a time.
Number one.
Guys, you don't want to miss any of these.
We'll keep it track.
And so we're trying to keep you hanging on to the very end. So we don't want you to hear it and be like, oh, I got it. No, we got to talk about it a little bit.
And I think all this is a common one. Oftentimes, I mentioned this before in a thing where we talk about unity that this can happen. There might be churches doing this really well.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes all churches feel like they need to be all things. And so everybody might try to do this themselves.
Yeah.
And it's a food bank. It's a food drive of some sort. And oftentimes you can find the church that's already highly committed to it, has the storage resource or whatever they need. And the way we could do this together is you find out who that church is and you guys work together as multiple churches and say, well, I'm going to do the drive at our church, but we'll bring it all to your location where you're going to disperse it to everybody else.
Exactly.
And that kind of thing. So,
some churches already have that built in where they have a dispersion. They know they're going to hand those out. I put in there regional versus local. I think sometimes we don't realize the difference between regional food banks and local food banks.
Yeah.
And what's important about this is that local food banks are usually dealing with direct to consumer activity. So for example, if you live in a smaller town, someplace like, I don't know, CUNA, right? CUNA, Idaho, one of the best towns in the 50 states. If you live in a place like that, they will tell you that their local food bank does not actually get supplied from the regional food bank, the larger regional bank in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good to know as a community, because sometimes we automatically assume there's so much already coming in and that they have what they need. But as churches,
and it depends on the community and how well they're doing their own fundraising and their own getting the word out, which a lot of them, they're not, you know, giving out food and collecting the food might be their skill set. It might not be advertising that they're doing it, you know, or doing social media posts or that kind of thing. In fact, usually it's not. And so part of that is where we can work together as churches is there might be a church that is really good at marketing and getting that stuff out.
Yeah.
And they can partner with the food bank and say, hey, this is happening. Let's get as many churches together as possible and raise as much as we can.
Yep. Because it doesn't have to necessarily be that a church already has it started, but you could partner with your local food bank or even your regional.
Yeah, it could just be a regular food bank too. Yeah.
And help. And then one of the reasons I bring up even the regional as well is because regional, what they're supposed to do. So, for example, the Idaho Food Bank, they're a regional food bank. And they don't give direct to consumer. The local does, but the regional, usually their food goes to an organization. And so it could be distributed to other local food banks. It could be distributed to, you know, other larger organizations who then disperse that to consumers. And so it's good to know the difference and figure out who can you partner with, how can you partner. Maybe you could get your local food bank to be on that list for the regional food bank for them to come help out and be a support in that way.
Yeah. And if you are the person that, like, I feel called to start a food bank and there's not one in my town or something like that, then it's we would say it's kind of on you to reach out to the other churches and say, hey, help. Let's all do this together.
Exactly.
I got the space. I got the desire to do it. Don't guard it. You know?
Exactly. All right. And then your next one. I love this.
Foster youth.
Yes.
And that's near and dear to my heart. We have three kids that we adopted through foster and there's always kids that need to be cared for in this season, that maybe aren't getting to celebrate Christmas with their families or even get the things that they need. And I know there's a number of organizations that do this. And so you can find out who they are. And your churches can work together to bring joy and love to foster youth. Kids going through that they're desperate. They're desperate for to be known that they're known and loved.
Absolutely.
And so there's plenty of opportunity for us as the church to come around those kids and show them something special during the Christmas season.
Absolutely. And one of the things, and I love this, with these things that we've been pointing out, even the food bank, the foster care, and fostering youth, this doesn't mean this is something that you have to do individually or even your ministry, your organization has to do individually. It could be partnering with things that are already going on and helping to bolster that. And so, for example, those foster organizations, it's saying, look, we're going to come alongside and make that happen. Or maybe you know people who do foster, and it's a matter of saying, we're going to come together on this. As we've talked about in previous episodes, we kind of harped on this even in the last episode as we're talking about mission and goals. You can go back, check that out. but
yeah,
we could be that extra support and helping hand for people within your organization that you know already foster kids, right?
Yeah.
So often people who are fostering, foster care organizations, food banks, people who are helping with food banks, they need more help than they have. They could use the help, but they're not out asking for it.
Yeah, and a lot of times they don't want to ask for it.
But if, for example, maybe your ministry has a few families that foster, if you just said, we are going to rally around them and we are going to make this one of the best holidays for whatever kids are in their care right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't even have to be just, again, doesn't have to be just the holidays, but just to say, look, when you foster, we as a church are going to surround them and support them and love on them and mentor them as a church family.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, God is all about adoption, isn't he?
Absolutely.
And caring for those who are not cared for.
Exactly.
Currently. So.
All right. Hit me with number three.
Number three, helping smaller churches.
Yeah.
This is a big one as far as the unity piece, I think, is that not all churches have the same Christmas budget. They don't all have the same resources. And I think being mindful of that, and this all comes from like networking and just knowing what's going on. Some churches are struggling with their own budget. Some churches might be struggling with keeping their doors open.
Yes.
And finding out who those are and being willing to help in some way financially or sending volunteers to help or whatever it is. I think that could be a really huge one for as far as like something to do during Christmas that's really unifying as the church.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you said, you know, it could be financially or sending volunteers, because I think sometimes we think that, you know, just sending money into a bleeding organization is not, you know, it's not going to be helpful. To do
not
that.
Necessarily, or, yeah.
Not, but
it depends.
Not
depends on what their goal, what they need. Yeah.
Exactly, and sometimes that's exactly what they need to help them over a hump or to get things moving in the right direction. And sometimes it's having that skill set. It's having somebody come in that's willing to share a skill set that they have that they can't provide from within their own organization at the time. That's going to help them get to a place where they do have that skill set and other
people to help with worship or help with kids.
Exactly.
Yep. Those are big ministry needs a lot.
Those are really big.
Smaller churches.
So that's something definitely to keep in mind with smaller churches, smaller organizations. You may know a Christian entrepreneur, somebody who's trying to start up something, and you're able to help them out to make that happen. Because it takes so much investment. Look, ministries, A lot of times there's a lot more investment, time, blood, sweat, tears, and finances put into those things than we realize. And yeah. And you could ask, and 9 times out of 10, they are going to need help in some way, even if they can't think of it off the top of their head. There's something that they could use help with. And it's a matter of finding people who are actually able and willing to be that, be there and supply that for them and help with that. And so definitely, I mean, comment, you guys may know some examples of that even within your own life. I know even with us, I mean, within Hope, there's so many times where I'm like, man, I wish we had an extra hand for this or an extra hand for that. So definitely keep that in mind in your community. And even with different, or if you're one of, you know, our unifiers out there and you're like, hey, man, what can I do? I don't have money. There are things that even here within Hope, we could use your help with, right? And so use what you have and make sure you're investing it into some organizations that may not have all of the resources and time to get that covered themselves.
Yeah. And I love what you said about, you know, finding other organizations that are already doing what you want to do. So
yes,
oftentimes God has laid something on your heart to do. Mm-hmm. And we think that we have to be the one that starts it, so raises funds for it, do all these things for it. When oftentimes there's already someone doing it, we just haven't done the research yet to find out who that is.
Exactly.
And we can just go partner with them.
Yeah.
And that's a unity piece, right? Because like if we all try to do everything from scratch, nothing's going to be done really well because everybody's, you know, trying to scrape together things and where you can partner with someone else that also has the same passion for what you're doing, and you guys are just better together as a you know, you can add to that organization, whatever it is. And churches can do that across different churches. We always said that in our church, like if you have a heart for doing this ministry that we don't do here at our church, like you could be a member of our church and go volunteer at this other church. It's fine. Like,
yeah. And we have to be willing to let them do that.
And there has to be that willingness.
All right. Especially my young leaders out there. Don't see that as a threat. But
don't try to hold your people. That'll actually push them away.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't, if you even if you have someone who's saying, I'm going to stop attending here and go attend here, for whatever different reasons, maybe they want to plug in and serve in some way. My encouragement, this is something that my wife and I practice and have practiced from early on in ministry, is that we don't let people just go. We send.
Yeah.
And so if you
send them with a blessing, right?
Yeah. You send them, you pray over them, you bless them, and you send them to go wherever it is they're going. So whether that is somebody in your ministry, your organization who wants to volunteer with another or help with another, send them. Don't just let them go. Send them. Pray for them. And send them. And so,
you never know. Important. Sometimes those things return to you. Those kind of sendings. And you just never know what the future holds and how things come back around. You just don't.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. That was number 3. So I'm gonna jump in here with number 4. All right. Number 4 is school ownership. School ownership is the way that I put it. Now, this doesn't mean go buy a school.
you are owned.
Or start up a school. But this is something that ministries can come together with and say, hey, let's work on ministering to this school together. It's like adopting the school, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be just your ministry, especially. So for example, middle schools, high schools, if you're a youth pastor, don't just feel like I'm gonna go at this school all alone. Call up another few local youth pastors and say, hey, let's come together and own this school, adopt this school together, and we'll be praying for it together, and we'll be serving it together and making those kinds of things happen. So if you could pray for that, your local schools, whether it's a elementary school, a preschool, a middle school, high school, college, maybe you have a university campus, say, I'm going to own take on responsibility for the spiritual well-being and ministry of that school. And pray for
them. A really
them,
great thing
volunteer.
To do is and serving their teachers.
Yes.
As well. Teachers are they go through a lot, and they're a lot of them are struggling to stay in teaching because kids can be hard. Or the administration's hard or whatever it is. And serving teachers and if we can come together as churches and do that, that's really good. We've done that a few times in past churches I've been a part of, and man, they are so appreciative. And and a lot of times it just opens their eyes to the church, honestly, because many of them aren't believers. And it's a great evangelism opportunity just to serve the people that are teaching our kids.
Exactly. And so some of the ideas there, and I'll just say them real quick, I mean, you pray for those schools, volunteer there, find out ways you guys can volunteer. And sometimes you may have to think outside of the box because maybe the school doesn't know or be able to come off with something off the top of their head, but you guys can come together and pray about it and figure out ways to volunteer. And
sometimes schools know what kids are struggling and don't have a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can help pinpoint some of those kids that need a little help.
Yep. And so that kind of gets into one of those things there is providing meal assistance. Sometimes just giving funding, saying, hey, we'll cover the meals for however many students that need meal assistance. Giving gifts, especially as we talk about the staff, like blessing them around the holidays, blessing them for teacher appreciation, doing different things like that. Who knows? Maybe you in a town where like your football program is up and coming, right? And we see usually at sports fields, inside gyms and whatnot, their sponsors. What if one of those sponsors were the churches of your local community? What if your local community comes together and says, look, we are going to invest in this school, in our athletics program, and end up putting up there that, you know, the main sponsor or whatnot are the churches of this town? How amazing would that be for their community to know, look, the churches are behind this community. They're behind our students. And then another thing, a big thing, is substitute teaching. Come on now, let's get in there. Let's substitute teaching. This is one of those ways, again, I mean, you could do this with coaching as well, but substitute teaching, getting in there and being those extra hands that the school needs. Again, a lot of times they need more than they have. And sometimes they just need better. I mean, let's call it out. Maybe you have a gift, and don't let that go to waste, but get in there and teach because you're a decent teacher. And it would be a blessing because now we have a decent teacher who's also a believer, an ambassador for the kingdom in there, and serving in that way, serving students.
And oftentimes schools are just underfunded too, and they need help with certain projects that, like, I know we helped one of the schools. They needed a new soundboard for their drama department. And we were able to help with that because and that was a need that like nobody would have known about. We found out because we were asking them.
There we go. Okay. Another thing, and I just kind of briefly mentioned it there, is coaching sports. You guys, that is such a ripe field of the harvest. Such a big influential place. We had a conversation recently with one of our friends from FCA. You can go back, listen to that one. And we were talking about just how the sports community is such a impactful place within people's lives. And if you're able to get in there as a coach and serve in that way, we need more Christian coaches. We need more. So get out there and coach and come together as a community and say, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to get out there. We're going to coach and we're going to invest in our coaches. So an organization, again, that we just mentioned, for example, like FCA, making sure that you guys come together and say, hey, how can we as a community support FCA? What can we do to make them alive and well and active within our community here? There's local local sports. There's club sports. There's a camp called Made for This out here in the Boise area. And they do arts and sports, and they teach young kids. Mm. And I mean, this is like grade school all the way down to kindergarten. And they just bring them out for a few days of a camp where they're doing sports and art and different things and being able to relate that and teach lessons about God. And so those are the kinds of things where, man, we can get out and we could really serve our community in these ways. With and by coming together and not saying it's just our ministry that has to do it, because a lot of times one ministry can't pull it off, it's too much. But if you're saying you're calling around, you're saying, hey, do you guys have people interested in sports? And this is, come on, guys, we need more males stepping up and serving kids in this way. And if you're talking sports, a lot of times that's where a lot of our guys are willing and able to step in and say, oh, yeah, I could do that. I can go play some basketball. I can go, I can go do these things, right? I can go coach. And so, I mean, that would be a big way just to get some Christian men being mentors and speaking into people's lives. And I'm telling you, it will challenge you as well, because you have to, and this is something that churches can be big support in, is you have to conduct yourself and carry yourself in a way that is well representative of Christ, where these students are drawn towards and intrigued by your faith and your beliefs and this and whatever church you're a part of, if you're sharing that with them, to where your character helps draw them closer. So churches, that's big to be able to do that. And don't let fear of, well, we don't know whether or not they will represent well, keep you from doing it. Say, especially our young leaders out there, don't say, well, I don't know if they'll do well, keep you from doing something. Say, okay, I'm going to have the conversation. I'm going to talk with them about it. And we're going to make sure we're going to build relationship. We're going to train them so that we have confidence sending them in there. Because that's what we're there to do as ministers.
Yeah.
We're there to train and equip our people for ministry. So don't be like, oh, no, we're not going to do that ministry because I don't know if they can. Say, no, we're going to do this ministry, so let's train and equip you to do it. Right? Okay.
Let's do it.
So that's coaching sports. That goes right along with after-school programs. Again, we talked about owning a school. We've talked about sports. This kind of goes into that. This kind of just puts a different lens on it. But there are after-school programs that you can get set up that maybe already be in your community. Jumping in. That's number six. Jump into those. Let the church overwhelmingly send volunteers. Let the body of Christ overwhelmingly be those people who are serving in our community in after-school programs or providing after-school programs.
Or even during school programs, like the FCA. You mentioned that in the previous one. But FCA, oftentimes you can come in and like serve them lunch or something, because they meet oftentimes at lunch periods and stuff.
There you go.
And there's ways to kind of do that and talk to whoever's leading the FCA and come in and serve in some way.
Yeah, exactly. And then so you have some ideas or examples that came to mind as good news clubs. Those are things that are, that's an after-school program for grade schoolers that you can get involved in. Sometimes your community will have something or a church can put something on. We know of one that was over in CUNA called The Zone, right across the street from a high school. And they put on an after-school program for kids to come over and hang out after school. And so those are things that you can do. And maybe that's something to where it's like, man, well, we can't have school kids in here. And man, I've seen this personally. I've seen this where it's like, man, we can't have kids here every day. We can't do that. But maybe you could do one or 2 days.
Well, and a church might want to do it, but they don't have enough volunteers to man it constantly.
There you go.
So like, I don't, you know, like even The Zone or something like that, where it's right across the street. They have the opportunity, but maybe they don't have the manpower to keep people in there every day after school.
Exactly.
And so so finding out who has those opportunities and then maybe partnering with them or working together as a bigger church community to bring in the mentors that they need to run something like that.
And dude, look, if you have to set up like this, and people may be like, oh, no, that's right when they hear it. Some people are going to write this off. If you have to set up a mobile after school program where it's not at the same location every day, where like it changes up.
That'd be cool.
Some people would be like, oh no, we can't do that. Look, I'm telling you, you just gave yourself an excuse to have communication with a lot of parents and adults in your community. Because you have to have a way of letting them know where things are going to be at regularly. So you just gave a legitimate excuse to be in people's emails and in their text messages, or to have them on a Facebook page with Christian content. And so, come on. You just gave them an excuse
to
follow
that
you
good.
On social and to be in their texts.
You guys all need to do that one.
Emails. Do it. And that can be something to where churches are sharing the load, and maybe it's at that one or it's at this one, different days. Or I mean, it could be out at the park sometimes. But again, we're sharing volunteers with one another. Yeah. We're saying, look, as a church in this community, we are going to make sure that there is something clean and positive and helpful for the students in our community to do.
You mentioned Launchpad in there. That's one that I'm familiar with. And it's, if you don't know what that is, that's a it's local to the Treasure Valley, but they're trying to expand.
Oh
it.
Yeah. They're in Washington,
and there's some things,
Oregon.
Yeah.
California.
And there's things like it happening in other, parts of the country that aren't called Launchpad, but
exactly,
but it's basically a class within that kids can elect to be in.
Yeah.
That is like a Christian class. Yep. And they're always looking for teachers. A lot of times they pull in youth pastors, but it could be anybody who's got a decent knowledge of the Bible.
Exactly.
And they'll you know, background check and all that stuff. But they always need more volunteers to help run that and keep it going. And they've seen a lot of great fruit from that. I saw it when I was there. I helped serve in that for a little while.
Yep, same.
And it was a really good opportunity for kids that are maybe just exploring their faith. It's surprising. You know, I thought that when I got into that there might be a lot of Christian kids and maybe they're Christian parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not all kids are,
not all the kids are absolutely
are where
not.
Their parents are. Right. And we know that.
Yep.
And so,
you see that same thing with FCA. Yep.
Yeah. It's a great opportunity for these kids to kind of explore some deeper faith.
Absolutely.
And so if you're able and to support something like that, or your church is able, they're always looking for volunteers. Just look them up online.
Yep. Absolutely. And I have that one listed there in number 7, which is campus ministries. So it includes Launchpad, Good News Clubs, Christian clubs that a lot of times, as long as it's student started and led, students can have a club on their school campus that's a Christian club. And we've seen
can
those.
Help support them.
Yep.
I know that there's a if you're an older and you're like, oh, what do I do as an older person? There's a grandma's club helps support Christian clubs in their schools.
Come on.
And so they'll bring them food and stuff, because kids, you know, they're always happy to have some food.
I was about to say, man.
Like, and they don't have any money. They're never getting their own food. And so I know they always really appreciate that. And so they come alongside and pray for them and do all the things. And that's really great, really great opportunity to help serve a club.
Yeah.
That's local.
Yep. And there's things like InterVarsity, Chi Alpha, different ministries, even for universities, where they have on university campus ministries that you can be a part of. We've had in the past the Biblical Study Centers over at Boise, by Boise State. We've talked with them in the past in previous episodes, and they kind of shared about some of those as well. And I mean, some of these we've talked about, and we talked about how we're hoping to have more guests come on this next year. And I feel like some of these, especially Rock for Launchpad, like we need to get him on here. I talked to him about
it.
We need to get him on here. Yeah. And we need to talk a little bit about it. So that's number 7. Number 8, this is one that's near and dear to both of our hearts. This is literally Brandon's profession here. And networks, right?
Yeah.
Just setting up networks where you have ministers coming together, whether that's broken down by, for example, with what Brandon does in National Network of Youth Ministers, where it's ministers who are dealing primarily with youth, or it's ministers all together, or it's, you know, lead pastors or young adult ministers, whatever it may be. pulling together for regular gatherings and regular get-togethers where you can encourage one another and support one another. So that's another collaborative idea where you guys can do that. So that's number eight.
And maybe even sharing and encouraging them in some way.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this and you're not one of those leaders,
yeah,
because a lot of you are, maybe reaching out to and encouraging some of the leaders around you would be an amazing thing to do around the holidays, because a lot of times they're under a lot of pressure in the holidays.
Yep.
Because it is a kind of the season.
Yeah.
Christmas time can be a very busy season for the church.
Absolutely.
Which rightly so. And it's great. There's a lot of good things that come from that, but it could also be stressful.
Absolutely.
And so doing that, and then like Valley Network, which is similar to what we do with NNYM, but that's a really good churches serving each other and helping to plant new churches. There's a really good way to come in and go like, if you're interested in being a part of something like that, being like, hey, how can I help these churches that are trying to just start up?
Exactly. But
starting a church is no small deal.
No.
They need volunteers. They need resources. They need all kinds of stuff. They need materials. They need whatever, musical equipment, whatever it is. And so there's a lot of opportunity to bless startups, people who are answering the call, and they just got to get there.
Exactly.
And a lot of times they don't know where that's coming from. It all comes from God, but it comes through people, right? So that's a great opportunity to if you're looking for to support something like that. There's great ways for multiple churches to get involved in those. We had 9 churches that helped us when we planted a church.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and again, with those, like setting up a network where you guys are getting together, praying, spending time together, young leaders, this is one of those things that unfortunately can be passed down that we don't have time for it. And that it's not a priority.
It's the easy one to kick off the schedule.
Young leaders, if you want to be somebody who is a unifier, who is strengthening unity in the body of Christ and seeing that happen, you need to prioritize this.
Yeah.
You need to prioritize getting together with other ministers and not making that something you can just kick off the schedule. That's the first thing to go.
So, well, you almost need to look at it as self-care too.
It is. And it is self-care. Network, absolutely.
Now, it is self-care. This could be a whole episode on its own, but just briefly, like self-care has to be a part of your time allowance.
Yeah.
As a minister.
Yeah.
You have to have self-care in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you won't last.
Yep.
You're not going to last.
All right. The last one I have on there, while you guys are watching this, cause we know this is dropping in the middle of, 12 days of Christmas here. But so it may not be something you can do this year for Christmas, it won't be. But something to keep in mind is holiday events and partnering together to do holiday events with the focus on pulling the community in. And so I know one of the churches that I loved being a part of was a church up in Alaska, and this was North Pole, Alaska. Right. North Pole. And I went to this church, North Pole AG. When at first Sunday I showed up there, they were talking about partnering with 2 other churches in the community for an Easter service. And when they were talking about that and I heard the heart behind it, right then, right there, this is as a young adult, I was early 20s. In the military, and someone who is passionate about ministry, ready to serve, ready to look ministers, ready to serve, ready to tithe, young adult. And what caught me was when they were talking about doing this collaborative event and the heartbeat behind it and how it was about a kingdom push and a kingdom effort. And it's about glorifying Jesus and what type of witness that would be to unbelievers. And that being what's important, not how many people may end up coming to our church, but how many people may end up saved no matter where they end up afterwards. And it not being about one church or the other, but about Jesus and about his kingdom and us being a united effort in reaching our community. They had me sold. That day I said, this is my church. This is my church. And we need to do more where the community can see the body of Christ together and see the body of Christ unified. Because Jesus himself said, when we are one, when the world sees that, they will know God sent him.
Yeah.
It is a witness to the world. And so one of the things in here is holiday events. Take advantage of holidays. Yeah. When people are wanting to do stuff, they're looking for things, and it's already, you have already built in excuse for almost an expectation on gospel proclamation. We're talking Resurrection Sundays, Easter Sundays. We're talking community events, times of during the, we talked about in the previous episodes, we talked about liturgical calendar, like practicing some of those things together. For example, leading up to Easter, there's the whole Lent season. What if your community, churches in your community, came to do something together as for the Lent
season? I've seen the live nativities.
Right? Live nativities during Christmas, doing different types of community events that are going on. Maybe your town, kind of like, you know, I'm throwing CUNA out there a lot, but like they have their own big celebration called CUNA Days. And maybe your town's like, hey, the church is going to have a presence, right? And we come together to have a presence and do big things during CUNA Days and things like that. So, I mean, you could do Christmas lights together. You do trunk or treats. Out here, there's a big 4th of July celebration that is faith sponsored, and being able to say, hey, we're going to do a big 4th of July celebration together. Just take advantage of those big holidays and come together and do something for your community.
Yeah. And I actually put number 10 as kind of one of those.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really good one for Christmas specifically is a Christmas worship event. And a lot of churches do this individually.
Yeah.
But there is an opportunity there for the church to show a unity piece and be like, hey, we're going to worship all together and do Christmas songs and pull a band with musicians from different churches.
Yeah.
And we're not going to worry about which church they go to afterwards. But we want to really show that same thing you just said, like when people can see a unified church just worshiping God together and realize that we do have more in common than we have differences.
Yeah.
I think that can be real powerful.
Absolutely. You guys, that's such a good one, Brandon. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's a good example of, so if you have been in an area where churches have come together, where, you know, different organizations, different believers have come together, you know, there's something unique and special.
There is.
And I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you what it is. God anoints, God blesses the unity of his church. He loves it. Mm-hmm. He loves it. And that's one of the reasons why, you guys, it's so important, so vital. It's one of the reasons why the enemy is always trying to keep us from it, right? And so we need to be intentional about making it happen.
Yeah.
But when you have camps and conferences and all these different things, where you have believers coming together from different groups and different denominations and what, there is a blessing and anointing upon it. Can you imagine during the Christmas season, the churches in your community saying, look, we're going to forego doing our own special worship deals, own special Christmas Eve services and whatnot, and we're going to do something together. You guys, Christmas is one of those times where
I'm
you're going to have
that next
people
year.
Coming
we're gonna do
in.
This.
You're going to have people coming in that are not believers, because it's during the Christmas season and it's a tradition. And it's one of those things where they just kind of go with family, or, you know, they are going to not only hear a gospel message, but they are going to encounter God in such a powerful way, because they are seeing, they're in the midst of a unified church. Hmm. You guys, come on now.
That'd be cool.
Come on now. Make it happen. Somebody make it happen.
I'm doing that next year.
Somebody.
I'm going to push for that, whatever church we're at.
Come on. Somebody make it happen and talk to us. Yeah.
Let's see if we do a multi-church worship night for Christmas. That'd be amazing.
All right. We have two more here.
All right. We got serving the homeless.
Number 11.
There's the need homeless. There. That's, you know, God told us to take care of the people who are in need.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes that can feel daunting, especially for smaller churches that maybe don't have the resources. But again, it's just one of those things you can join in. There's people doing it like the Boise Rescue. There's there's a, you know, Salvation Army, those things that are already happening. So it's like, how sometimes you can go as individual.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, I just want to help serve food for a day.
Yeah.
Or something.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of opportunity there to share just the most basic of needs, right? Like Jesus was like, he calls himself the bread of life.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reference to sustenance and, you know, that's the most basic, and fasting even as being this like spiritual discipline, like food is like the most basic of things that we need. Absolutely. And if we could provide that for someone who needs it, then we're providing life. And then we can lead them to the bread of life. So
absolutely,
pretty awesome.
Absolutely. And then I have to say, you guys, this is one of those opportunities. And I'm going to challenge those who maybe you're not a lead pastor right now. Maybe you don't even hold any type of role of leadership within your church. I'm going to challenge you in this, because we mentioned earlier, we're talking to our leaders, our pastors, and we're saying, don't just let people go, but send them. I want to challenge you in this, because this is one of those areas where you could just randomly on a weekend decide, hey, I'm going to go serve some soup, right? I'm going to go to the homeless shelter and I'm going to bless these people. I want to challenge you to reach out to your pastors and say, pastor, I don't want to go. I don't want to just go. Send me. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for this? And I'll bring back word on how things go, right? So we can celebrate this as a church. And say, you know, as a church, we went and did this, and we sent people here for this. And guys, look, I don't know anyone in that equation who's not going to be blessed by that.
Yeah,
I don't know anyone in that equation who's not going to be blessed by that. Your church will be so blessed to hear that story of what happened. That person that you're sending is going to be so blessed to be going with prayer and anointing over them. You as a minister, I'm telling you, young leaders especially, you're going to be so blessed to hear and have that encouragement of knowing, like, look, I am literally equipping saints for the work of I'm doing what the Bible says. I'm doing it. It's happening, guys. Like, it's exciting.
Come on now.
And then wherever they go, they're going to be so blessed, because there's going to be just there's a different level of blessing and anointing that happens there when you're sending people. And they're not just going. There's going to be something there that is just unique. And again, God sees those things. That's one of the reasons why he tells us to lay hands on one another, to send one another. He tells them, when he's talking about Paul and Barnabas, he talks to those who were praying. He didn't say, hey, just let Paul and go. Paul and Barnabas go do what I told them to do. And they're like, oh, okay, hey, Paul, Barnabas, you guys got to get going. No. They laid hands on them and they prayed for them. They sent them. We saw that with the 12 who were commissioned, along with Stephen and Philip, to take care of the widows. And like, they laid hands on them. They sent them. Jesus with the 12 apostles, he didn't just say, okay, guys, it's time to go. Go do your things. No, he sent them. This is a practice of all the way back to the start of the church. I mean, we even see this with the patriarchs and them blessing one another, and that blessing being passed down with Moses and Israel in the wilderness, that blessing being, let this be an opportunity. Let this be an opportunity not to just go, but to send pastors, leaders, and to be sent. If you're going and you're like, hey, I got a pastor I can call.
Dude. I was just thinking, because you were talking about how like we're a little bit late on putting this out, and it's like, we can't maybe do this year. I wonder how many food banks or places that are helping the homeless have such a drop in help in January.
Oh, absolutely.
Because a lot of people do it during Christmas.
Yeah.
And so maybe you're hearing this and you're like, well, we don't have time to do that before Christmas. Maybe put it on your January calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, one of the reasons we're sharing this during the 12 days, like, we know, look, this is in the middle of 12 days. All right. We know Christmas is past. These are 12 unifying collaborative ideas. These are things you can do around the year, but we wanted to put it out here because this also gives you an opportunity of saying, okay, let's start planning for next year. Let's start now. Let's start talking. Let's start planning for next year and make this happen.
Yep. We better get to the last one because we're like almost out of time.
Oh, yeah.
Or we are out of time, probably. Yeah. All right. We'll do it real quick. Serve the elderly. I put often forgotten, and look, we almost missed it.
Yeah.
Often forgotten, always there.
Yeah.
They're there. They're oftentimes in their homes and stuff. And there's some things that we've done that have been really, I put as could be as simple as caroling.
Yeah.
We went and just did some caroling with our youth group at one time and just went to the retirement centers and, it was a blessing. It was a huge blessing to them.
Dude.
And at least that's what they told us.
No, absolutely.
Or even go in and sit with them and talk to them. If you're an individual, if you're a musician of any kind, you know, go play some music for them.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of opportunity there to care for the people that went before us.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's so much in scripture about honoring our elders. And there's so much that we can learn from them. And it is such a blessing, especially for those who are in assisted living and the retirement homes and that kind of thing. A lot of times they don't get visitors. And so it is such a big blessing when you are able to go in and visit. It is almost like they are, I hate to relate it to this, but I mean, honestly, it's almost like they're in prison. Not because the location that they're in is a prison, but because they're often forgotten and not visited and not in a lot of contact with people outside of their living situation, like those in prison. And so it's, you have to, we should be able to find time to send people, because I guarantee you there are people willing to go. And especially if we talk about it as a need, there are people who are going to be willing to say, hey, I have a heart for that. I'm willing to do that. We need to send people into these areas and watch people get saved. Like, how amazing to save someone
right there.
I mean, towards the end of their life, to watch it light people up, to watch those you're sending in come out blessed and refueled because they went in and they talked to Mama D. I'm gonna say Mama D because I was a older lady who was just a powerhouse at church I grew up in, but because they ran in to an elder believer who was able to impart wisdom and maybe send them back up prayed over.
Yeah.
And so, dude,
you don't know what kind of blessing you might get.
You don't know, but I can guarantee you it will be a blessing to those who are in there if somebody goes in and just sits with them.
Yeah.
All right. That's big. Sure. That's a good one, Brandon. I'm so glad you shared that.
You know, as we were looking through this, I was realizing we just did 12. I was like, what if we just like took one of these every month? And just try to fit it in like once a month.
That's a good idea.
That could be a really cool idea. I might try to challenge myself to that this year.
Wow.
Be like, we can just start right there at the top and see if we can hit each one of these.
There we go.
Cool.
That's good. Let me run back through that list one more time. And then Brandon, I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer.
These are
the 12 collaborative ideas, 12 ways, unifying ideas for the 12 days of Christmas, Merry Christmas season. Number one was food bank. Number two, foster care. Number three, helping churches, smaller churches. Number four, owning a school ownership. Number five, coaching sports. Number six, after school programs. Number seven, campus ministries. Number eight, networks. Number nine, holiday events. Number 10, Christmas worship in unity, doing a worship service in unity together. And then number 11, serving the homeless. Number 12, serving the elderly. Brandon, would you go ahead and close us in prayer?
Yeah, Lord, I just pray as we've spoken through some of these things, God, you are stirring hearts. And I know that you're stirring mine, even as we've been talking some of these things. And sometimes we get stuck on what we can, what to do, like where can we serve? And God, I pray that some of these are good opportunities or get some juices flowing, so to speak, about things that we can do both individually, but also cross church and with the big body of the church together to really meet those felt needs within our communities, God. I pray that you just bless this idea or this brainstorming, and God, that I pray it brings out even more ideas, and I pray that people comment them, and so we can continue to just work together to better serve the communities that we live in. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, be part of the conversation. Make sure you comment.
What's yours?
We hear.
What's a good one? Give us some good ones.
You may have some examples that you've seen with some of these. You may have some completely other different ideas that we want to hear them. All right, so comment. Let us know if you've seen some of these things happen, some of these things work. Even if you've seen them go wrong, let's have that conversation. Yeah. Let's talk about
Let us know what we shouldn't do.
Right?
That's a terrible
idea. Merry Christmas, guys. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the In Hope podcast today. Remember to like, subscribe, share, join this conversation, and invite others to this conversation.